Here we are again at the end of the week, and I'm sure many of you are anticipating the start to the weekend. But just before we get off to our weekend plans, let's redeem this time and resume our conversation on the meaning of the word salvation and believes in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. This is Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I've said much about this all week, and so I urge you that if you have missed any of this week's broadcast, please get them for free online as podcasts from the WEZE website. Just go to 590amtheword.com, that's 590amtheword.com, and download the podcast for God Is. I do not have the time here to repeat what was said throughout the week, so I'll count on you to go back and have a listen in order that what I now say today will make sense to you. As we talked about the word salvation and believes, which reflects deeply on the word faith, I told you that we can summarize the biblical teaching on salvation and faith as follows. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Let me repeat that, especially if you're hearing this for the first time. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And the key biblical text here is Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. Let me read that for us as we begin. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works. Did you hear it? Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Therefore, good works have no place in our salvation. God does not save us by our works. It's not what we do that saves us. It is what God does for us that will save us. Not of ourselves. Not as a result of works, is what the Apostle Paul says to the Ephesians. And this leads us into a very important discussion on what I call works-based salvation, as opposed to the grace-based salvation I've read about just now, or the difference between what we do to be saved as opposed to what God does to save us. Works-based salvation is very popular. It comes in various forms, which I have acknowledged, but yesterday I began to address how works-based salvation is prevalent in Roman Catholic Church doctrine, teaching, and practice. And therefore, I want to spend some time addressing the difference between how the Bible says we are saved and how the Roman Catholic Church says we are saved. There is a big difference. Yesterday, I gave you 6 introductory comments regarding how I will do this, and those emphasize that I take on the following, respecting the friendship I have with Roman Catholic people. I am not Roman Catholic, and this is why. I believe the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church is wrong about how people are saved. But I am still friends with people who disagree with me on this very important matter that impacts eternal life. This difference between what the Bible teaches and what the Roman Catholic Church teaches regarding salvation is not a minor point of difference. It is major. That's the reason I am taking it on now, but my purpose in doing so is not to intentionally offend listeners who are Catholic. I prefer to think of us as being in dialogue together, passionately engaging one another in our differences, and if you'll write to me, then we will be in dialogue. So if you disagree with what I shared yesterday or today, drop me an email this weekend and say so. Those of you who agree and find this helpful, please also write. My email address is mark@markaswallow.com. That's mark@markaswallow.com. And that will be repeated later as well, so write to me this weekend. The Bible teaches that our salvation is by God's grace alone. There's nothing we can do to deserve His grace. Nothing. We cannot do any works to merit God's favor. But the Roman Catholic Church does not teach this. Now, immediately, if you're Catholic, you'll likely say to your radio, "We believe in God's grace." True, the Roman Catholic Church teaches God's grace, but the way that you define grace and the way the Bible defines grace are two different definitions. So let me be practical about the difference. In Roman Catholic teaching, there are 7 sacraments. These are baptism, confirmation, the Holy Eucharist or communion, penance, anointing of the sick, marriage or matrimony, and what they call the holy orders, such as leadership in the Roman Catholic Church, bishops and priests, etc., which serve as representatives of Christ. And these sacraments are of crucial importance, because it is through the sacraments that you receive God's grace. The sacraments are necessary for salvation. The sacraments are necessary, required for salvation. Traditionally, the Roman Catholic Church has taught that without the sacraments, there is no grace, and therefore, there is no salvation. That is, you are not saved from your sin if you do not receive the sacraments. And since we are talking about how God saves us from our sin, this teaching of the Roman Catholic Church is imperative to understand. So let me quote from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, quote, "The Church affirms that for believers the sacraments of the New Covenant are necessary for salvation," unquote. Did you hear that? The sacraments are necessary for salvation. In other words, if I do not receive the sacraments, then I am not saved. And since I do not believe, based on my reading of the Bible, that the seven sacraments of Roman Catholic Church doctrine are necessary for salvation, I do not believe that, then I am the one who is disqualified from God's grace, and I am not saved from my sin. I have not experienced salvation, nor have any of my listeners who do not believe that the sacraments are necessary for salvation. Do you see how serious this is? Furthermore, because the seven sacraments are necessary for salvation, and anyone not receiving them cannot be saved, then anyone who is not a part of the Roman Catholic Church, where the sacraments are served, is not saved. The Church has traditionally viewed that any person not a Roman Catholic is not saved. Even though after Vatican II, the Church softened up its position on this a bit, it still describes those of us outside the Roman Catholic Church as like daughters separated from our true mother. We need to come back to the Mother Church to experience the fullness of true salvation. Now, according to Catholic Church history, the seven-point sacramental system was not put into practice until the Council of Florence in AD 1439. That's the 15th century. So a fair and important question to ask is what happened to Catholic people in the preceding centuries? If the seven sacraments are essential for salvation, but the seven sacraments were not in place until 1439, were Catholics between the first century and the founding of the Church and the year 1439 in hell? This is a question for my Catholic friends to answer. But now back to the Bible. The Bible clearly says that salvation is by God's grace alone. Alone. It's grace plus nothing. Salvation is only by God's grace. But for Catholics, God's grace comes by way of the seven sacraments. So for them, it is God's grace plus sacraments. Do you see the difference? And not only is it grace plus sacraments, but it is possible to move in and out of God's grace. It's possible to lose God's grace, and then to regain it, and then to lose it again. And depending where you stand in relation to God's grace when you die, you might well find yourself out of it as you stand before God after death. Catholics teach two kinds of grace, and the one that interests us most right now is called sanctifying grace, because that is at the core of the Roman Catholic view of salvation. They teach that sanctifying grace comes through the sacraments, and this is what makes a person holy. And this grace is first experienced in the first of the sacraments, baptism. So as one participates in the ritual of baptism, then one receives this grace. However, if a Catholic person is to commit a mortal sin, then sanctifying grace is removed or erased from the soul. And now you are out of quote-unquote a state of grace. And here is what is really shocking and quite frankly frightening to Catholics I know. If you are baptized in the Roman Catholic Church, but then you commit a mortal sin and die before participating in the sacrament of penance, then you go straight to hell. Mortal sin means that sin is conscious, deliberate, and serious, and that can keep you out of heaven. You see, you have lost God's grace by your mortal sin, and now you are damned for all eternity. And again, this is in the event that you commit mortal sin and die before you have a chance for penance. By the way, Pope Francis' very recent and public denial for the existence of an eternal hell is not in keeping with Roman Catholic theology and teaching. No wonder the Church was very quick to say that Pope Francis had been misinterpreted in his interview. I'll let those of you who are Catholic respond to this Pope, but it does seem to me that he's interpreting the traditional teaching of the Church in ways that are deeply unsettling and upsetting to Roman Catholicism. Now, let me tell you what I'm going to do. When you join me again next week, I want to take up the sacrament of baptism as defined by the Roman Catholic Church and contrast that with baptism as defined and explained by the Bible. In order to prepare for this, I have a little assignment in mind for both Catholics and Protestant evangelicals or other non-Catholics listening to me right now. If you would, spend some time before Monday afternoon thinking about what you believe about baptism. Catholics, what does the Church teach? Is the teaching rooted in the Bible? And if so, what chapters and verses and what books of the Bible? If you do not know the answer, ask your priest at Mass tomorrow or Sunday. Just pull him aside and ask, Father, what do we believe about baptism? If you are not Catholic, consult your Bible. What does the Bible say? And if you are not sure, ask your pastor or minister this weekend following the worship service at your church. Or if you do not go to church, ask a friend who's a Christian, or simply consult the Bible directly yourself. If you're Jewish, ask your rabbi this question. What is it that you believe about baptism? Think about it and maybe even write it down. Will you do this? I hope so. Ponder what we have talked about together today and this week. I'm looking forward to having you back together on Monday with me again as we continue to discover who God is.